I am not going to be preaching from Revelation again today. I will be preaching on a topic very similar to it, though. And it's come up in conversation this past week, and I was tickled in my spirit because as I was sitting there at dinner, my wife started talking about it, and she didn't know I was preaching on, but then all of a sudden she just like grafted right into the conversation, and it was so spot on. She was just talking about the difference and the divide that's occurring. And so the title of this sermon is called The Battle Lines Being Drawn. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me, Lord. And that the hearts here and online would be open to receive your word, Lord. And that it would be on fertile soil, one that the birds cannot take away, one that the sun can't scorch, and one that the thorns can't choke, but that it would produce fruit for your kingdom, Lord, as we see your day approaching. Let us have ears to hear what the Spirit says expressly to this church. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, Amen. One of my favorite movies growing up as a child, as well as my dad's actually, was Davy Crockett. If you know that, Fess Parker played the role of Davy Crockett. I have a picture of my dad in his coon skin hat and, you know, leather, whatever those are, deer leather, whatever it is. But someone I grew up thoroughly enjoying, and one of the other movies that I grew up with my favorite also was The Alamo, where John Wayne starred Davy Crockett. And I remember in both scenes, and some of this is not fully verified, but I remember in the scenes in the movie, I remember a word coming to the troops of certain death. And William Barrett Travis pulls out his sword and he draws a line in the sand. Certain death, he takes his sword and he looks at his fellow Texans and the Tennesseans that were there. And he says, all who wish to stay to defend to your last breath, cross the line. And in the movie, all of them crossed over. I think history says that one did not, one chose not to, where the story continued on. But that line was drawn in the sand. And the men in that scene, they were clearly making a decision. And it stuck with me my entire life. They identified who they were. They were Texans, and they were willing to give up their life for freedom. For freedom. And I think about a line that was drawn in the sand when Joshua spoke. And that's my foundation text, which is Joshua 24:15. And he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, the ones that God looked at and said it was evil and I had to destroy the world, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I tell you today, the spiritual and the physical battle lines are now being drawn all over this world. And some pulpits, including this one, have been warning us that we are quickly approaching a time known as Jacob's trouble, a 7-year tribulation, and without any doubt, the signs of the times when weighed by God's prophetic word, if you study to show yourself approved, you can look. You don't know the day, but it says you will know the season in his return. And things are quickly changing in this world as it appears we are coming to the end of a church age. I listened recently how in 2020 has truly revealed the wheat and the tares in the church. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives a parable and he says to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." That enemy is Satan. "And went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant, the owner, came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not know? Did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to him, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest.'" The harvest. "And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So for centuries, the church has had wheat and tares growing up inside it. But as time comes to an end, you will start to know the difference. The identities of the church of Smyrna and Philadelphia, as well as those of Thyatira, Sardis, Pergamum, and Laodicea, are being exposed before our eyes. You can know that which is of true because you know them by their fruit. And you know about the words they speak. Are they speaking just their own stories, or are they using the word of God as their source and as their guide? Is there a heart for the church, or are they hirelings just to fill the pulpit with filthy lucre for their own goods? Because it says their God is their belly. They just want to consume. I pray that you have discerned the signs of the time and are preparing yourselves. Just as Revelation talked about, it said it with Babylon, it says, "Come out of her," so too the Christian must realize the world system is quickly approaching the Babylonian system, in which we must come out of her and have no part. No part. It is time to drive our roots deep. As referenced in Matthew 13, "So the sun does not cause it to wither, or the thorns don't choke the word." You need deep roots to produce fruit for the kingdom, and you'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, as referenced in Psalm 1. God said, "The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all powers, signs, and lying wonders." That's 2 Thessalonians 2:9. With Satan and the globalists and the government leaders' corrupt power grab and destruction of morals and society, we see Satan's deceptive power and lying wonders at work. At work. It's so blatant for the believer who has a discernment of the Spirit inside them. You have the Holy Spirit inside you, folks. If you have put your faith and trust in Christ, He leads you in all truth. Amen. Therefore, you cannot be deceived if you are walking after the Spirit. Amen. I'm a little hot. I'm coming out a little hot, guys. There's good parts here at the end here, but I said to my sister, I said, if this was the last message I ever spoke, I want it to pierce you. I want it to pierce you. We have been intentionally lied to. We've been locked down. We've been socially distanced. And we have seen the destruction of millions of jobs, business closures, coming bankruptcies, and existing bankruptcies. Satan and the globalists have begun the end time process of destroying the social and economic fabric of nations. I know we are approaching that time. You know, the World Economic Forum talks about a great reset. And this is not to scare you, but a side note. You guys remember when the Green New Deal came up? And you know how that kind of keeps coming back into the fold with politics? And they talk about sustainable living. They also talk about, listen to this, not eating meat anymore. Do you know, turn with me right now to 1 Timothy 4. Verses 1 through 4. The Word of God says, Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, the end times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We have seen that, okay, in the pulpit. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, that is tied to Romans 1. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. I don't find that odd that they would like to take away certain things that we have eaten in this world. Do you not see how that parallels to Scripture, folks? The forbidding to marry, the Romans 1 mentality, the pursuit of unnatural desires that's contrary to the God to God's word. That's just a side note, folks. Something for you to chew on. Back to the Great Reset. I have mentioned before from this pulpit that there is a move right now in the Federal Reserve to move to a digital dollar, a digital currency. And just this past week, Janet Yellen, the former Federal Reserve Chairman and now Treasury Secretary to the O'Biden administration, held a press conference in which she was undermining Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency that has skyrocketed and as wealthy as some of the top five companies in the world, like Amazon and Apple and Microsoft. And the idea is, if you can question its integrity to devalue it, the hope is to issue a digital dollar, because there's a move. Visa is now saying we'll accept Bitcoin. We are on a highway fast track to a digital economy, folks, that all transactions will be monitored. It will be monitored. And it's going to eventually ravage societies and economies until they're irreversibly crushed, leading to a one global economy. That's the race right now. China's already way ahead of the game with cryptocurrency, folks. Way ahead of the game. And it takes time to develop these things, but I would tell you that just look at 2020, if that is not a perfect reminder of how quickly things can change. What we're seeing is the rise of the prophet Daniel's fourth beast kingdom, as strong as iron, which breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. What we've seen up to this point is just the run-up, folks, to the iron fist of treasonous control of all nations. The world is on a crash course. It's on a crash course towards the brutal end of spiritual and physical battle with real world life and death consequences. The Bible's clear. It says Satan's Antichrist will be given authority over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Believe it or not, it will happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This isn't to scare you, but I would tell you, do not be deceived. How many times does the Bible talk about do not be deceived, do not be deceived, do not be deceived? And I would tell you right now, do not be deceived by, I call it, the hopium that is being generated right now. Vaccines are rolling out, you know, numbers are down. You can feel that, like just the calm before the storm, but you could see it. You could see it on people's faces. They're going, oh man, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You must be on guard. You must be on guard. The devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You better have your armor dressed on, like we talked about last week, head to toe. Head to toe. Be on guard. Because loss of freedoms will continue to multiply. We see them eroding. You see a narrative. And it's, man, my wife and I, you know, she's never been really one for history, but she saw this past week. We were sitting there each night and we watched show after show that would come on about World War II and Adolf Hitler and his rise to power. and the demise of the Jews, the layering and the framing. First it was the agenda, then it was the narrative with media, and then all of a sudden the branding started to happen. And then there was this little reprieve with the Olympics, that hopium. Oh, you know, all Jews are welcome. They took down the signs from the store, just this little glimpse. That's what I'm talking about, the hopium. This little glimpse for a little matter of time, and as soon as the Olympics were over, right back into it, and then the ghettos were formed. If you cannot see the parallel there, it is quite disturbing. And I know Katie and I have talked about that as well. She took a class on it in college, so she understands that full. Economies have to be eventually decimated in order to implement the mark. It has to happen. Therefore, I just tell you, spiritual and physical battle lines are being drawn, and you must know on whose side you are. God said the multitudes in Joel 3:14, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And if you are metaphorically in the valley of decision and you have not chosen the high ground in Christ, beware, for your foundation is on sand, and when the storm comes, you will be decimated. If you are not in Christ, you are of your father, Satan. It's not my words, that's Jesus' words. You are of your father, the devil. Many know, they can sense it. Even those in Christ can something, there's something amiss, something bad is afoot, and they don't know how to put their finger on it. They're seeking truth, and you have the truth, folks. Many people are waking up to realize that our world has changed horribly in a very short time. Everywhere, sensible people are reasoning that we have entered an unusually hostile area or era. You've seen like economic devastation in the UK, in London. We see the socioeconomic destruction of America, a move from Judeo-Christian values into something that is, it's of wood and stubble and created, and it's not of God. It is not of God. You need not, if you haven't read Romans 1, you should read it over and over again to understand it, because I know many other pastors I've listened to feel that at this stage we are entering into God's judgment. That's right. Even in God's judgment, there doesn't mean that there's not believers. There's still a remnant, folks. That's right. There's still a remnant. But there are consequences. Sowing and reaping is a law of God, and this nation has sowed evil. The world is sowing evil. With the battle lines being drawn, one of the amazing things that I think about is to whom you belong. The book of Revelation is very clear in identifying those not in Christ as earth dwellers, right? Earth dwellers. They're caught up for love of this world, seeking their best life now. My wife equated it to saying that the vaccine is their God. They look at that as the key to go back to life. A return to normalcy is what they seek. They don't seek thy kingdom come. They are blinded by the power of the prince of the air, and they are deceived, they are delusional, and the Bible says they are in darkness. They are in darkness. They cannot process or reason with truth. And that's because Satan, he is deceptive. It goes all the way back to Genesis, yes. Chapter 3. The serpent was more subtle. That's deception. Subtle. He creeps in and then he twists the truth. Surely God didn't say that. You won't die. Wham! Gotcha. He tried to do it to Jesus. Thank God. Thank God, he spoke right to him. He showed us how to combat the lie with the truth. And that is with this, the Word of God. That's what criminals do. They deceive people. They deceive people to get their passwords, to steal their identity. We are very acquainted with identity theft in our household. It has been a nightmare. Happened a few years ago, and it just constantly circles back around. And you feel violated. That's all I can tell you. Satan, folks, did that to mankind in the garden. He stole our identity. He's deceived man. Man lost his identity and purpose for which God created him. And the lost today do not know their identity, but we who are saved have an identity. Satan is the prince of this world, and he wants to tell you who you are and whose you are. In fact, at some point, Satan is going to use a false prophet to mark all those that are his with his mark, his identification. The world wants to tell you who you are, that you would know your identity by your job, your academic level, or through your spouse, or your wealth, the many things you have, your social media following, your social issues that you're standing on today because you're so woke. Or what the press or TV wants to define you as. Everything I just stated there is temporal, folks. Do you realize that? It is temporal. It can and it will be gone. I've seen divorces with the job I do, the nature of what I do in the secular world as far as that, but I've seen people lose their identity because that was their identity with their spouse. I've seen people lose their identity because they lost a loved one. If you lost all the above, if someone took it all from you, whatever, maybe something just kind of confirmed in your spirit some things that I just said there, and you're like, I kind of put a lot of value or stock in those things in my own life. If someone took it all from you, if you were in prison tomorrow, who are you? Now we're getting into the good stuff. What is your identity then? What is your identity? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is my identity. It is in Christ on high. I was once foolish. I was lost like the world. And so were you. Titus 2:3 through 7 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Man, is that not an indictment on the world? But after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Do you remember when it clicked? Do you remember when that clicked for you? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by grace, that is how you are justified. By grace, through faith, we should be made heirs. Heirs, that's what you are. You are an heir according to the hope of eternal life. Ephesians 4:24, that you put on the new man, which after God created in righteousness and true holiness. That's your identity. You're covered in Jesus' righteousness. Amen. You are to be holy, for he is holy. Amen. We are not of this world, folks. Pilgrims passing through, and there's a pilgrim. He identifies himself here all the time. We are pilgrims passing through, pilgrim ed. I always, like when I first met you, I always was like, what's with this pilgrim thing? You know, I just, you know, but it's just, every time I read that passage of scripture, my mind gravitates to you, brother. We are different. We have been redeemed. We are to be doers of the word, living our life God's way and living holy unto him. John, the one Jesus loved gives us this great warning. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Abide in him. Abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. You see, Satan wants your attention to these things. He wants your attention to those things. And you know what they are? They're traps. They're traps. You put your faith and confidence in the things of this world rather than being anchored in the one who conquered it all. The anchor to your soul, you'll be shipwrecked. You'll be shipwrecked. Your anchor is not tied to Jesus. You're going to be shipwrecked. Am I speaking to you today? We who have been redeemed have an identity. And that identity, guess what, is eternal. Eternal. Do you know the Father's love? Let me tell you a little bit more. Who you are in Christ Jesus. I said you're an heir. That makes you family. It makes you family. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. And you read that scripture, you're going, well, it doesn't say daughters. The Bible wasn't woke back then in this whole social justice thing. Do you know why it says sons? Because in the old days, the sons got the full inheritance. Daughters had a different inheritance they got. They didn't get the full inheritance. So you're all are collectively identified that way. That's why it says, be sons of God, full inheritance. Therefore the world knoweth not, because it knew him not. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Do you remember when I was talking about the wheat and the tares? At the time of the harvest, you know what happens? The tares start to take on this color that's gray or black. And you know what wheat does? It shines. It's like golden brown at the time of the harvest. Pretty awesome, huh? You know what else happens? The tares stand straight up and the wheat blows with the wind because we've bowed our life to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? The power of Scripture and the imagery. You know what you are? You're a conqueror in Christ. Because he's an overcomer, you're an overcomer.
Hallelujah.
Romans 8:35-39. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril or sword? That is in written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, no, nay. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded today? I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or the things to come tomorrow or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, however long it takes the Lord to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a conqueror. What do you think those in the world would do when they are impacted by what I just described here? Peril, sword. It's over for them. It's over. They implode. They're corrupted. Things have stolen. They turn to substances. Look at 1929 and the stock market crash. Suicides at a phenomenal rate. Suicides are at an all-time high now as a result of the shutdowns. I saw a great man, and that man was my father, on his deathbed. On his deathbed, and his identity shone in front of him, was on full display. Love for the Lord. He was in perfect peace. He was in the power of the Lord. And I saw a man wake up from a sleep and preach a 15-minute sermon on his bed for those in the room, and it was powerful and it was life-changing for me and my family and those that were in the room. Do you remember that, Steve? Do you remember that? Do you remember how it impacted you? I saw it on your face. peace, power, and hope. There was no fear of what was to come, because when he breathed his last breath, he was going to be in the presence of the Lord. Don't fear what is coming your way. Trust in God. Trust in him. Why? Because you're a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3, 18 through 20. I've told you often before, and I'll say it again with tears in my eyes. There are many whose conduct shows they are enemies of the cross of Christ, and they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite, and they brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and he reigns. Hallelujah. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. When you know your identity, it's a holy boldness that rises up inside you. A confidence of knowing whose you are and where your future is. You're an ambassador, an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. This is the foreign country you've been sent to. You're a promoter of a specified activity, which is the kingdom of God. You are an authorized messenger for the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? Do you know what power is behind you? Second Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. That old life that you cling to is gone. It's passed away. Behold, all things are new. They become new. Why? Just as Romans said, you've been baptized into death with Christ, and you are raised up a new man, new creation by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe it, read it. Romans 6, read 7 and 8. Read it all together. It's awesome. And now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's your job. You're helping to reconcile those back to God who are enemies of the cross. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God, for he had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Another one. You ready for it? Paul, Ephesians 6, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He identified himself as a bondservant. A slave to the Lord Jesus Christ who redeemed him. Right. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Because it's not me speaking, it's the Holy Spirit inside me. You know, so you are. You are light of the world, folks. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Are you letting your light shine? Are you letting your light shine? Time to put away the foolish things, folks. Those things that easily beset us. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The world is lost. People go about their life every day with the expectation of, I have tomorrow, I have tomorrow, I have tomorrow. I'm not telling you to not be good stewards over what God has granted you and given you. The world goes around thinking, I'm a good person. If there is an afterlife, I'll get there. It's a dark world, and God wants us to reach that dark world. The one thing you can't do in heaven, one thing you can't do to heaven is witness, because they're already there. All of them have put their faith in Christ. You cannot witness in heaven. What are you doing to reach those people? What are you seeking? Whom are you seeking? Are you actively looking to tell others about Jesus and his love and the work that he's done in your life? Because this is not a secret club, folks. There's no secret handshakes. The doors are wide open, and the motto on that sign says, loving people back to life. A new life in Christ. Some of you have so much hurt in your past. Let go of your past and let Christ take control of your destiny. He's rewrote your destiny by the blood of Jesus Christ. We sang that. Did you believe it? It's triage time. It's time to snatch brands from the fire. And if you are afraid, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be a partaker. Be a partaker of the gospel. Share it. No spirit of fear, power, and love. You will have a sound mind to share it. The Holy Spirit will direct you if you would just let him. If you would seek him, you don't have to know the book from front cover to back cover. Just start. Start somewhere. Start in the book of John. That's my favorite book. I would love to teach from that. I just don't think we're going to make it that long on this earth. Paul said this as I'm closing in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, it's in verses 14 through 21, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You've been given a new name in Christ. You've been given a new name in Christ, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted. Remember I was talking about that we get roots deep, rooted and grounded in love, because that's what's going to remain is love. Tongues will perish. Love remains. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Filled with all the fullness of God. The creator of the heavens and the earth. The Holy Trinity. Can't even comprehend that. Now to him who is able, He is able. Do you doubt? Because he's able. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So let it be on heaven as it is on earth. Amen. Do you understand your identity, folks? Do you understand your identity? How many today will commit to no longer let the world dictate your identity? It's choose you this day. Choose you this day. If you've been teetering, choose you this day. How many today will say, I accept my calling, my true identity. Today is the day of change. I will stand in my identity. I will seek the lost. I will love people back to life because Jesus first loved me. My light will shine until Jesus comes back or calls me home. If you have not chosen that identity and you do not know Christ, today is the day. Today could be your new birthday. How do you do it? You admit you're a sinner and you're in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as a result, the wages of sin is death. That is the payment that must be made. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You admit you're a sinner. The Greek word is metanoia, repentance. Metanoia. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. You were the one running away from God, and he's reconciling you back to him. And if you believe in your heart, Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, 9 to 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. That's Jesus' words. Don't shy away. See, call upon the name of the Lord, for whoever, how many whosoevers are in here today? I don't see all those hands. If you don't raise your hand, you need to think about what I'm saying to you today. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today is the day. Today is a new birthday. If you have not put your faith and trust in Christ, you can be born again. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you for the power of your word. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. It's life-giving. Help us as we go our separate ways to stand in our identity, Lord. To boldly proclaim the truth that has set us free. The work that you're doing in us and to us as we remain steadfast in you until you take us home. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this precious time you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.